Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, November 9th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
A mixed midterm verdict from voters. Republicans head toward a slimmer House majority than expected.
John Fetterman beats Mehmet Oz in the key Pennsylvania Senate race.
Georgia may be headed for a Senate runoff between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker.
And in New York, Kathy Hochul defeats Lee Zeldin in the race for governor.
A closer look at the local election results in the tri-state area, plus North Korea has fired a suspected ballistic missile. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A third period rally for the Islanders to beat the Rangers. The Devils won again. The Knicks play the Nets tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are lower on this day after the midterms. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and S&P futures are down about 19 points. Dow futures down 156, and NASDAQ futures down 51. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 4.14%. Nathan.
Karen, this morning it is all about the midterm elections. While the GOP has made gains in the House, control of the Senate hangs in the balance. Amy Morris begins our team coverage from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Democrats are keeping the balance of power in the House closer than anticipated. As for the Senate, it might be a while longer before the results are clear. We do know Democrat John Fetterman defeated Trump-backed Mehmet Oz for the Senate seat from Pennsylvania with 50% of the vote. Oz got 47.6%.
I never expected that we were going to turn these red counties blue. But we did what we needed to do.
Georgia may be headed for a runoff. Democrat Raphael Warnock with a slight edge over Trump-backed Herschel Walker, 49.4% to 48.6%. And the count was delayed in Arizona after tabulation machines went down. Democrat Mark Kelly currently holds a lead over Republican Blake Masters, 56 to 41%. And Nevada is expected to go uncalled until later in the week because of delays from counting mail-in ballots. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. While taking a look at some other key Senate races, Trump-backed Republican J.D. Vance defeated Democrat Tim Ryan for Ohio Senate. He won with 53% of the vote. New Hampshire Democrat Maggie Hassan beat Republican Don Volduk for the state's open Senate seat with 54% of the vote. Colorado Democrat Michael Bennett got 55% of the vote to keep his Senate seat over Republican Joe O'Dea. And North Carolina Republican Ted Budd edged out Cherry Beasley with nearly 51% of votes. Meantime, in Wisconsin, the race too close to call. Republican Senator Ron Johnson leads Democrat Mandela Barnes 50.6% to 49.4%. That's with just under 99% of the vote counted.
And we have results from a handful of races for governor, Karen. Let's begin in New York, where Democrat Kathy Hochul has defeated Republican Lee Zeldin. Bloomberg's Michael Barr continues our election team coverage live in New York. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. Democrat Kathy Hochul has become the first woman elected New York governor, winning the office outright. Hochul took over in 2021 when former Governor Andrew Cuomo resigned. Hochul defeated Lee Zeldin, who ran a campaign focused on fear of violent crime. She thanked supporters last night.
I want to speak directly to New Yorkers. Tonight, you made your voices heard loud and clear.
Hochul got nearly 53%, with Zeldin receiving just over 47%. However, Zeldin is not conceding. In other races called by AP for the U.S. Senate, Charles Schumer beat Republican challenger Joe Pinion 56% to 43%. In Connecticut, incumbent Democratic Governor Ned Lamont beat Republican challenger Robert Stefanowski 55% to 44%. U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal won his re-election over Republican Leora Levy with 56%. In New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen, Nathan?
All right, Michael, thank you. Well, a pair of governors who have eyes on the White House were victorious last night. Republican Ron DeSantis in Florida and Democrat Gavin Newsom in California both handily won re-election. DeSantis beat Democratic challenger Charlie Crist, garnering 60% of the vote in Florida.
I believe the survival of the American experiment requires a revival of true American principles. Florida has proved that it can be done.
That victory speech from DeSantis did not mention Donald Trump or speculation that he will run for president. In California, Newsom easily defeated his Republican challenger, Brian Dowley, with almost 60% of the vote.
Overall, Karen, there were 36 races for governor across the country. Let's get more on those highlights now, live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, Democrats pulled out wins in some key states. In Michigan, Democrat Gretchen Whitmer defeated Republican Tudor Dixon with 53% of the vote. Democrat Josh Shapiro won in Pennsylvania, beating Republican Doug Mastriano with 55% of the vote. Wisconsin incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers got 51% of votes to win over Republican Tim Michels. Colorado's Democratic Governor Jared Polis garnered 57% of the vote to defeat Republican Heidi Gannell. In New Mexico, Democrat Michelle Lujan Grisham beat Republican Mark Ronchetti with 52% of votes. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker defeated Trump-backed Republican Darren Bailey with 54% of the vote. And in Georgia, Republican Governor Brian Kemp got 53% of the vote to beat Democrat Stacey Abrams. Finally, a key governor's race yet to be decided in Arizona. Democrat Katie Hobbs currently leads Trump-backed Republican Carrie Lake 51.3% to 48.7%. Just under 61% of votes have been counted so far. Karen and Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Well, overall, it was a historic night at the polls. More women than ever ran for governor. More black women ran for Congress. And more LGBTQ people vied for a spot in the House or Senate. As you mentioned before, Kathy Hochul became the first woman elected governor in New York. In Massachusetts, Maura Healey will be the first woman elected to serve as the state's governor. Democrat Wes Moore will be Maryland's first black governor. And Republican Sarah Huckabee Sanders has become the first woman elected to serve as governor of Arkansas.
Now, for more reaction, Karen, Bloomberg Politics contributor Jeannie Sheehan-Zeno says, this was not the red wave many pundits were predicting.
What we're going to have to go back and think about is, what do we attribute that to? Do we attribute it to candidates, some of these MAGA candidates? Do we attribute it to issues like Dobbs? What has sort of been the Democrats' ability, if it holds up, to defy at least a little bit of some of that gravity as we go forward?
Iona-cologist Jeannie Sheehan-Zeno. And in the interest of transparency, we should note that Michael Bloomberg, majority owner of Bloomberg Radio parent Bloomberg LP, was a major donor to Democratic candidates this election cycle. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 41 degrees in Central Park, and we've got an overturned vehicle westbound Bruckner Expressway. Tell you more in traffic. First, Michael Barr is back with what else is happening in New York and around the world. Once again, good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Taking a look at other local races and the results, Republican Tom Kaine won the House race in New Jersey's 7th Congressional District, beating Democratic incumbent Tom Malinowski. Kaine got 52% of the vote. Kaine, a former state senator, narrowly lost to Malinowski in a 2020 House race. Democrat Mikey Sherrill won another term in the U.S. House, beating the GOP's Tom DeGroote. Sherrill received 58%. Democratic Representative Josh Gottheimer beat Republican challenger Frank Pallotta. Gottheimer received more than 54% of the vote. Taking a look now at more races in New York, Republican Nicole Malliotakis has won re-election to the U.S. House in New York's 11th Congressional District after defeating Max Rose. She gave a victory speech to her supporters last night.
You know, what an amazing, amazing night. What an amazing, amazing mandate from the people of Staten Island and Southern Brooklyn.
Malliotakis got 62% of the vote. Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has won another U.S. House term, easily beating her Republican opponent, Tina Forte, with more than 70% of the vote. North Korea fired a short-range ballistic missile toward waters off its east coast today. According to Japan, the missile flew about 250 kilometers. It apparently landed outside of Japan's exclusive economic zone, and there have been no reports of damage. Florida's coastline prepares for another tropical storm in the coming days as Nicole takes aim for the mainland. It's expected to make landfall sometime early tomorrow. Nicole is going to take a sharp turn to Georgia and eventually South and North Carolina and up the East Coast. In Palm Beach County, Florida, a local emergency was declared and several areas were given evacuation orders ahead of the storm's landfall. Mayor Robert Weinroth.
Palm Beach County is announcing evacuations for Zone A and B. This includes mobile homes, barrier islands, and low-lying areas.
Mayor Weinroth says heavy rainfall is very possible, with urban flooding possible as well. President Joe Biden is heading to international climate talks in Egypt with a message that historic American action to fight climate change won't shift into reverse. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stashar.
Good morning, Nathan. There are three New York area hockey teams. Two are hot. The Rangers are not. Blue Shirts lost their third in a row at the Garden. The Islanders rallied for three third-period goals to win 4-3, and they've now won seven of their last eight. The Devils have won all of their last seven. First place at 10-3 with a 3-2 home win over Calgary. The Devils doing this without goalie Mackenzie Blackwood. He's going to miss 3 to 6 weeks, knee injury, and the Devils' big offseason pickup, Andre Palat, is going to be out 8 to 10 weeks with an injured groin. Knicks and Nets tonight at Barclays, first meeting of the season. Just as Jacob DeGrom made his free agency official, Mets are said to have begun talks with his agent. Anthony Rizzo may stick with the Yankees. They tendered him a qualifying offer so he can stay, make about $19.5 million. If he leaves as a free agent, Yanks would get a draft pick compensation. College football playoff committee's top four this week: Georgia, the defending national champs, then Ohio State, then Michigan. Those two play in a couple of weeks. And TCU is number four. All four are 9-0. Tennessee fell from first down to fifth. Alabama is now ninth. Clemson is 10th. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. Futures are turning lower this morning after the election. Right now, S&P futures are down 20 points. Dow futures down 177. NASDAQ futures are lower by 62 points. That's a drop of about 0.5% across the board. 10-year Treasury's down 5/32nds. Yield 4.14%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.67. More reaction and analysis to the midterm results. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments, joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling as the midterm elections throw up a mixed verdict. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 21 points, Dow futures down 182, NASDAQ futures down 63, the 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds, yield 4.14%, yield on the 2-year 4.66%, NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 54 cents at $88.37 a barrel, COMEX gold down 0.5% or $8.30 $1,707.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0049 against the dollar. British pound 1.1441 and the yen 145.76. Watching Disney this morning, down almost 8%. The company evaluating its costs and seeking meaningful efficiencies after reporting results that fell short of analysts' expectations. And Elon Musk has sold more than $3.9 billion of shares of Tesla just days after closing his buyout of Twitter. He's now unloaded about $36 billion worth of shares in the company in the last year. Tesla shares are higher in early trading, up about 0.7%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Many votes are still being counted from Tuesday's midterm elections, but Republicans are still favorites to take back the House. Speaking at an election night event in Washington, D.C., House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was very confident.
Thank you to everyone who voted Republican for the very first time.
Democrat John Fetterman will be the next senator from Pennsylvania, beating his Republican opponent, Dr. Mehmet Oz. Fetterman addressed supporters in Pittsburgh overnight, describing his campaign 6 months after he suffered a stroke.
This campaign has always been about fighting for everyone who's ever been knocked down, that ever got back up.
Democrat Kathy Hochul has become the first woman elected New York governor, winning the office outright. Hochul took over in 2021 when former Governor Andrew Cuomo resigned. Hochul defeated Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin, who ran a campaign focused on fear of violent crime. In Texas, Governor Greg Abbott fended off a challenge from Democrat Beto O'Rourke. Governor Abbott says border security was one of the main issues driving votes in his state. Abbott also says we must never forget our schools, our education, not indoctrination. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more post-election analysis now as the votes continue to be counted. We're joined by Greg Valliere this morning, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Greg, good morning. If this had been a red wave, I think we would have been able to call the Republican majority in the House by now. But this morning, there's still about 19 seats shy of a majority in the House. Your thoughts on this election?
Well, what a night, Nathan. Great to be with you. I think there are two big takeaways. Number one, gridlock is good. The markets are going to be looking at 2 years, 2023 and 2024, of gridlock, with the Republicans barely taking the House and maybe the Democrats keeping a tie in the Senate, which would give them control. The other big implication, in my opinion, is that all of this fear about more voting irregularities, social unrest, et cetera, may subside. There were no dramatic irregularities last night.
Okay. Now, we are seeing a pretty interesting market reaction, though, with a bit of a sell-off in the futures this morning, a 0.5% decline across the board. What should market participants be pricing in when it comes to how things are going to look in Washington once the dust finally settles completely?
Yeah, again, I think the markets will have to price in gridlock. If you worry about tax increases or more spending, I think the new House will reject that. At the same time, Biden has a veto power. If the Republicans try to pass something radical, he would veto it. And I've said for my entire career that gridlock is good because it means they do less harm.
What does a slimmer Republican majority mean for policy going forward here in terms of what the leadership is going to look like in the House? Is future Speaker McCarthy still in the cards here?
I think so, Nathan, but it's a good question. I think that he, since he'll have a very small majority, he may have to cut deals with the far right, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. He may have to go to them and make some concessions. I think McCarthy was hoping for 25 or 30 seats, and he certainly didn't get that kind of majority.
What's the mandate, do you think, from an election like this when Democrats had, I think it's safe to say, a much better night than a lot of pundits were predicting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I am part of the group who thought that there could have been a red wave, and there certainly was not. I think a couple of big takeaways. Number one, candidates who keep talking incessantly about the 2020 election being stolen or rigged, I didn't do well. I think the voters are sick of that. They want to move on. And I think, secondly, more moderate candidates did quite well. Look at New Hampshire, for example. So to me, it was an encouraging result to see the country move to a more moderate, less, you know, conspiratorial climate.
Of course, the biggest potential candidate who's been talking about the 2020 election being rigged is former President Donald Trump, who has already teased an announcement next week. What's your take on that? Where are we going when it comes to the 2024 presidential race?
I think we're going to look back on this election a year or two from now and recognize that this was a real turning point for both Trump and Biden. For Biden, many Democrats won despite him, not because of him. Many Democrats won by running away from Biden. For Trump, I think this sort of solidifies his image within the Republican Party that he could be an albatross. He could be a noisy distraction for Republicans who would like to move on to new candidates like Ron DeSantis.
Real quick, 10 seconds here. Do you think Trump still announces next week?
I think so, but it's now up in the air. If he announces, I think the country and the party could get sick of him by the end of the winter.
So great to get your thoughts this morning after Greg. Thanks for this. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are pointed lower now. S&P futures down 18 points. Dow futures down 169. NASDAQ futures are lower by 53 points. Still losses of 0.5% across the board, the futures contracts. 10-year Treasury down 4/32 for a yield of 4.14%. Much more post-election analysis and reaction straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Sunny, chilly today, mid-50s for highs. Will be milder tomorrow, though, with a high near 65. Rain for Veterans Day, high near 70. Our current temperature, 41 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Republicans made gains in the House this midterm election cycle, but it wasn't the red wave that some had predicted. Control of the Senate still hangs in the balance. Democrats flipped a key Senate race in Pennsylvania with Democrat John Fetterman defeating Republican Mehmet Oz.
This campaign has always been about fighting for everyone who's ever been knocked down. That ever got back up.
And Democrat John Fetterman, who has been recovering from a stroke, won with 50.1% of the vote.
In Ohio, Karen, Republican J.D. Vance defeated Democrat Tim Ryan for a Senate seat, garnering 53% of the vote. Democrat Maggie Hassan got 54% to win New Hampshire's Senate seat over Republican Don Baldock. Meanwhile, Wisconsin is still too close to call. Republican Senator Ron Johnson leads Democratic challenger Mandela Barnes with 50.6% of the vote.
Well, in New York, Nathan, a Democrat Kathy Hochul won a tight race for governor with just under 53% of votes.
You made me the first woman ever elected to be the governor of the state of New York.
And New York Democrat Kathy Hochul defeated Republican Lee Zeldin, who has so far not conceded the race.
In Connecticut, Karen, Democratic Governor Ned Lamont won 55% of votes to beat Republican Bob Stefanowski. U.S. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal beat Republican Leora Levy with 56% of votes.
And a pair of governors who have eyes on the White House were victorious last night, Nathan. Republican Ron DeSantis defeated Democrat Charlie Crist in Florida.
I am honored by your support, and I look forward to the road ahead.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis won after securing 60% of votes. Meantime, in California, Governor Gavin Newsom handily beat Republican challenger Brian Daley, garnering 58% of votes.
Democrats pulled out wins in some other races for Governor Karen. Democrat Gretchen Whitmer defeated Republican Tudor Dixon in Michigan with 53% of votes. In Pennsylvania, Democrat Josh Shapiro beat Republican Doug Mastriano with 55%. And Wisconsin, Democratic Governor Tony Evers won over Republican Tim Michaels, garnering 51% of the vote.
And a key governor's race is yet to be decided in Arizona. Nathan, Democrat Katie Hobbs so far leads Trump-backed Republican Kari Lake. The tally there is 51.3% to 48.7%.
And in the interest of transparency, Karen, we should note Michael R. Bloomberg, majority owner of Bloomberg Radio parent company Bloomberg LP, was a major donor to Democratic candidates this election cycle.
And futures this morning lower. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures down 163. NASDAQ futures down 50. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Temperatures are lower, too. 40 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with that overturned vehicle westbound Bruckner around 149th Street. Michael Barr is here now with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Taking a look at other local races and the results. In New Jersey, Republican Tom Kaine won the House race in the state's 7th Congressional District, beating Democratic incumbent Tom Malinowski. Kaine got 52% of the vote. Kaine, a former state senator, narrowly lost to Malinowski in a 2020 House race. Democrat Mikey Sherrill won another term in the House, beating the GOP's Tom DeGroot. Sherrill received 58%. Democratic Representative Josh Gottheimer beat Republican challenger Frank Pallotta. Gottheimer received more than 54% of the vote. Taking a look now at more races in New York, Republican Nicole Malliotakis has won re-election to the House in New York's 11th Congressional District after defeating Max Rose. She gave a victory speech to her supporters last night.
You know, what an amazing, amazing night. What an amazing, amazing mandate from the people of Staten Island and Southern Brooklyn.
Malliotakis got 62% of the vote. Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won another House term easily, beating her Republican opponent, Tina Forte, with more than 70% of the vote. Some House races in New York are too close to call. Republican Marcus Molinaro and Democrat Josh Riley are in a tight race for New York's 19th district, separated by just 1.2%. Republican Michael Lawler and Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney are in an even tighter race for the 17th district. They are separated by less than 1%. In Connecticut, it is too close to call for the House seat between Democratic incumbent Tahana Hayes and Republican George Logan, with 95% counted. In other news outside of the election, South Korea's military says North Korea fired a short-range ballistic missile toward waters off its east coast today. According to Japan's defense minister, the missile flew about 155 miles. It apparently landed outside of Japan's exclusive economic zone, and there have been no reports of damage. Tropical storm Nicole appears to be strengthening and could be near hurricane strength when it makes landfall in Florida sometime early tomorrow. Many towns and communities along the state's eastern coasts are scrambling to prepare for Nicole's possible impact. In Palm Beach County, a local emergency was declared, and several areas were given evacuation orders ahead of the storm's landfall. Mayor Robert Weinroth.
Palm Beach County is currently under a hurricane warning. This means that the hurricane conditions are expected somewhere within our area within the next 24 to 36 hours.
Mayor Weinroth says heavy rainfall is very possible, with urban flooding possible as well. It's a $2 billion jackpot kind of day for one lucky Powerball winner. The winning ticket was sold near Los Angeles, California. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Time to make some friends in L.A. Thank you, Michael. 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Knicks and Nets tonight at Barclays. Knicks come in 5-5. Nets are 4-7. 2-1 since the Kyrie Irving suspension that has at least two more games to go, maybe longer, since the Nets laid down those six requirements that Irving must meet before the suspension is lifted. Although the Celtics, Jaylen Brown, who is the VP of the Players Association, said the union will appeal what the Nets are doing. Irving did meet yesterday with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. It was termed a productive meeting. At the Garden, third period rally by the Islanders. They beat the Rangers 4-3. Brock Nelson, the tying goal, and then Anders Lee, the go-ahead goal, and the Isles have now won seven of the last eight. Devils have won seven in a row. A Nico Hischler goal, third period, to beat Calgary 3-2. The Indianapolis Colts just fired coach Frank Reich, made the surprising decision to replace him with former Colts lineman Jeff Saturday, who has no coaching experience. And now the Colts say their play caller on Sunday will be 30-year-old Parks Frazier, who was the assistant QB coach, has never before called plays. Georgia, last year's national champs in college football, number one in this week's rankings from the playoff committee. And then comes Ohio State and Michigan. They play in 2 weeks. TCU is now fourth, as a tough game Saturday at Texas. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. Coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
Another wave of job cuts in finance. This time we're hearing Citigroup and Barclays have started cutting investment banking operations. The sources say Citigroup has cut dozens of positions in New York this week, and it's a big reversal for Citi. It's been adding talent lately, especially in healthcare and technology. CT Fast Track proving to be a boon for local businesses in Connecticut. Hartford Business says the busway and related funding is sparking economic development in the towns on the route. Panera opening its first urban store format in New York City. The fast casual restaurant in Hearst Tower is about half the size of a typical Panera restaurant, and Verdict Food Service says it features kiosks and a digitized menu as Panera targets densely populated areas. And Wawa bringing back free coffee Tuesdays. Rewards members in Jersey and elsewhere can redeem the offer designed to boost foot traffic and customer loyalty at the convenience store chain. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Thank you, Denise. It's almost 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potas. Got KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about rising streaming costs and falling ad sales at Disney.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Grocer Albertsons wins a ruling that allows it to pay a $4 billion dividend.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that Salesforce is among the latest big tech companies to cut jobs.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We've been reporting on the cryptocurrency meltdown as the exchange Binance makes a bid to buy its rival, FTX.com.
I'm Denise Pellegrini, and on WJLA in Detroit, I'm reporting on how Elon Musk is selling billions of dollars of Tesla stock.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. We are watching shares of Disney in the pre-market. They're down more than 7.5% in early trading. The entertainment giant reported sales and profit below Wall Street estimates. Disney was hurt by weakness in ad revenue and higher than expected losses in streaming TV. Denise mentioned the sell-off in shares of Tesla by the CEO Elon Musk, more than $3.9 billion of shares of the electric vehicle maker. He sold them just days after closing his buyout of Twitter and has unloaded about $36 billion in shares of the company that he leads since in this last year. S&P futures right now are down 11 points, Dow futures down 119, and NASDAQ futures down 30 points. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/tech. Futures this morning are moving lower following the midterms. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 106, and NASDAQ futures down 23. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 4.14%, and the yield on the 2-year, 4.66%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7%, or 67 cents, at $88.23 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3%, or $5, at $17.11 an ounce. Euro is at 1.0043 against the dollar. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Control of Congress hangs in the balance as Democrats have shown surprising strength, defeating Republicans in a series of competitive races and defying expectations that high inflation and President Joe Biden's low approval ratings would drag the party down. Democrat John Fetterman flipped a Republican-controlled Senate seat that is key to the party's hopes of maintaining control of the chamber. It is too early to call critical Senate races in Wisconsin, Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona, which could determine the majority. In the House, Democrats kept seats in districts from Virginia to Kansas to Rhode Island. However, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy believes the GOP will take control. In Texas, Governor Greg Abbott fended off a challenge from Democrat Beto O'Rourke. Governor Abbott addressed supporters, pointing to border security as one of the main issues driving votes in his state.
Where and if Congress falls short, Texas must continue our unprecedented efforts to secure our border.
Abbott also says we must never forget our schools are for education, not indoctrination. Voters in battleground Michigan have enshrined abortion rights in the state constitution, joining Democratic California and Vermont on election night. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. In all, 3 dozen governor's races were on the ballot this year, besides the closely watched ones in Texas, Florida, and Arizona. We're also keeping, of course, a very close eye on the New York governor's race. Democrat Kathy Hochul has made history as the first woman elected to the Empire State's highest office. But as of this morning, Republican Lee Zeldin has yet to concede. Let's bring in Shelley Banjo now, our New York bureau chief for Bloomberg News. Shelley, as we've been talking about for the last few weeks here, this was a much more competitive race, particularly in the late going, than many people expected. So how did Governor Hochul pull this off?
Absolutely. It was definitely more competitive than I think people had realized, you know, a number of weeks ago. However, you know, she did pull it off and she did win. The AP called the race for her last night with 52% of the votes. However, as you mentioned, the her opponent, Lee Zeldin, has not yet conceded. He took the stage after midnight last night saying, you know, things are too close to call. You know, go grab a drink from the open bar and get ready to watch as more results come in.
Yeah, I think he'd mentioned that there were about 1.2 million Election Day votes to be counted there. With the lack of a concession, does he have a leg to stand on in terms of the margin? Can he pull off an upset here with the votes that still have yet to be counted?
You know, it would be extremely extremely hard, I think, given the demographic trends, especially how much Kathy Hochul got in New York City, which is home to about is the most populous city in New York, and also home to about the majority of the Democrats in New York. And so, you know, Hochul had a good showing in New York City where she did spend the bulk of her campaigning. And so it is showing that at least that part of her campaign, election campaigning paid off, that all the time she did spend down in New York City actually turned out to work and to help her in her favor.
Yeah, it is interesting to see that, given that in the last few days, Lee Zeldin had been campaigning in New York with his focus on the crime issue in the city. He made that a major talking point. Now it's something that Governor Hochul is going to have to address. How do you expect her to do that?
Yeah, in her speech last night, she did talk about, you know, making the streets and making the subway safer for you and I to walk on. And so I think that's something that voters clearly said to her. This is a problem. You're not doing enough about it. Not necessarily only just the numbers, but also the feeling and the perception of handling, of what it's like to walk in the streets and what it's like to go on the subways. And so I think she got a clear message in her face saying, look, it's not just things like gun laws, and it's not just things like abortion. It's also this very, very basic thing of, does it feel safe to be on the streets? You know, can I afford dinner at home, you know, with the economic issues and inflation and whatnot? And so, you know, I think she will have to rethink some of that based on the feedback that she did get from voters, and just based on the fact that so many people did come out and vote for Lee Zeldin on that message alone.
And it is a key hold for Democrats at the state level on this morning after the midterm election. Shelley Banjo, thanks for this. Shelley Banjo is New York bureau chief for Bloomberg News. 5:53 on Wall Street now. Let's take a look at the market reaction to these election results as we continue to watch our screens. For that, we're joined by Andrew Sheets, chief cross-asset strategist at Morgan Stanley. Andrew, a little bit of a sell-off in the futures contracts, though not as deep as it was earlier in the session. What do you make of the market action we're seeing this morning?
Well, thanks. Good morning. It's great to be here. I think we have a legitimate surprise in the U.S. election results. I think it's a much closer outcome than many investors, many were expecting. And I think as such, the market is digesting some of that uncertainty. So, you know, I think we're seeing a reversal of some of the price action we saw yesterday when I think markets were more confident in a Republican control of both the House and the Senate type of outcome. Obviously, there's still a lot of results to come in, but, you know, I do think the markets are now going to take a little bit more time to digest the uncertainty of what was clearly an unexpected outcome.
So what do you see as the trajectory for markets from here? Is it going to be choppy going forward? Could we see a leg lower for stocks given where things are going right now?
Well, I do think think ultimately the likely outcomes coming for the midterms all still cluster around divided government. I think even in the unlikely scenario where Democrats are able to maintain control of the House, it would be by the narrowest of majorities. So I do think the markets will ultimately settle on a narrative of less kind of policy action going forward. I think then the markets are going to focus on the inflation data that we get tomorrow. And ultimately, I do think we have, you know, a narrative shaping up where markets, I think, will start to feel a little bit more relaxed about the inflation backdrop, I think, can start to feel a little bit more comfortable that it's moderating. And so we're still tactically constructive on the U.S. equity market, kind of into the 4,000-4,100 area. But, you know, I think that is dependent on, you know, the inflation outlook maybe cooling off a little bit. And we're still into the early part of next year concerned that earnings estimates still have some work to come down.
And we are at around 38.28 on the S&P 500 for those keeping score. Well, let's get a little bit more on your view on the inflation outlook here. What are you expecting from tomorrow's CPI print? What could that tell us about the path for inflation going forward?
Yeah, so we're expecting inflation to come in roughly in line at the core level, maybe a little bit above where the consensus is at the headline level. But I think the underlying components here are going to be really important. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty around the trajectory for used car prices, where I think some industry data suggests after a very large run-up over the last 2 years, you could start to see some real cooling. We think there's some special factors in medical care that could start to relieve some pressure on core inflation. And then what's happening in shelter is going to be very important. You know, that's 40% of core CPI or close to it. And I think you have some tension between kind of lagging renewal rates in rents, which are still somewhat high, with, you know, data coming out from publicly traded companies, which is saying they're seeing a real deceleration in rental growth and expect that deceleration to continue into next year. So I think that's going to be a really important story to follow, given how large of a weight within core CPI rents is and how important that is to the story.
Can we look at this as a pivot toward a deceleration for Fed rate hikes? I mean, we're going to have a couple of inflation prints before the Fed's next decision. How important is this one going to be for the Fed's strategy against inflation?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. You know, this is a key point that our interest rate strategists at Morgan Stanley have been making, that the market, you know, read the last FOMC press conference is quite hawkish from Chair Powell. But, you know, we do think what Powell was saying was that they are data dependent, and they've seen some incoming data that has been hot, but there is still more data to get, you know, before they make their next interest rate decision. And so the last several CPI numbers have come in above expectations, but this is another important data point that will matter for that December rate decision. So, you know, it does matter, and if we do see some softening in this or other data, then that could maybe take some of the pressure off of market expectations that the Fed would have to move even more aggressively in December and January.
Appreciate this, Andrew. Great having you on with us this morning. Andrew Sheets, Chief Cross Asset Strategist at Morgan Stanley. Coming off an election tomorrow, we already get consumer price data. The focus will turn back to the economy for investors going forward here. Right now, S&P futures are trimming their declines, down 8 points now, a drop of 0.2%. Dow futures down 101. And NASDAQ futures are lower right now by 21 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.